Ephesians chapter 1. This morning, as we continue our series on the seven Pauline mysteries, we come to the last of the seven mysteries that are found in the Pauline revelation. And we read in verse 9 concerning, "Have made known unto us the mystery of his will." The seventh and final mystery that we find in Paul's epistles would be the mystery of his will. And the mystery of God's will pertains to his ultimate plan and purpose in his universe. So then we are going to see that it pertains primarily to futuristic things. And every time we would address a subject on futuristic things, it draws the attention of everyone. The natural man has an interest in future things and future programs and plans and so forth. And there are many who have a great interest in the world in their future lives. Why, what lies ahead in this human life before us? And what lies beyond? Is there a world and a life beyond? And many of them have sought after seers and ancient writings. They have sought after prophets and after mediums in order to receive some revelation concerning the future. But we, who are the children of God, who by adoption are the sons of God, we rely solely upon the revelation of God's word concerning futuristic things. And as believers, we must rely solely upon the scriptures. We are not to seek seers and mediums and prophets and spiritism and so forth. We are to confine our attention solely to the living Word of God. And if God is silent on some area of the future, then we ought to be satisfied with that silence. We ought to accept it into our lives and appropriate it into our hearts by faith. But if we are to know anything about futuristic things or events, we are to turn to this blessed book to receive instructions. And as we look here at the mystery of God's will, we are introduced, as it says here in verse 10, to the dispensation of the fullness of times. Now, the dispensation of the fullness of times refers to the new heavens and the new earth and God's ultimate purpose for the body of Christ and also for the nation of Israel and all of the prophetic saints. And we read concerning the dispensation of the fullness of times, that he, that is God, might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in him. So here, as we would look to the futuristic time period of the new heavens and the new earth, which the Apostle Paul calls the dispensation of the fullness of times, we see that God is going to gather all things together in one in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I could just put that very simply for you this morning, this verse would be saying to us that God is going to sum all things up in Christ. Now, as we look at the all things here, there have been many who have gone to such extremes where they say that the all things refers to Satan. It refers to the infernal creatures of the deep, the demons. It refers to all of the unsaved, and we call this teaching universalism. There are some today who teach that in the end, God is going to save everyone and every being in the universe, even Satan himself, even though they have rebelled even though they have rejected the gospel, even though they would be in an unsaved state. And this is totally contrary to scriptures. The all things here are limited by divine revelation on the matter. Satan is not going to be reconciled in the end, nor the fallen angels, nor unsaved humanity. If you find yourself in the torment of the lake of fire in the eternities to come, you'll have no one to blame but yourself because you rejected the gospel. The all things are limited here to the physical creation and only to those who believe the gospel and are saved. You will notice in verse 10 that Paul refers to all things in heaven and on earth, not under the earth, which would be the place of the infernal beings and the place of judgment and the eternal wrath of God where it shall fall upon all who are the unsaved. Now, indeed, we must be so very careful here. We believe that in Christ, God has reconciled the whole world unto himself. In other words, he has made a wonderful provision for every man and woman and boy and girl and infant that will ever live on the face of the earth. But for you to be a recipient of that reconciliation and to be in the new heavens and the new earth, which is God's ultimate purpose in the mystery of his will, you have to respond to the gospel. You must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that Christ died for your sins and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day. And so we see that it is not a scriptural doctrine, the teaching of universalism. You need to study Matthew chapter 24, 25. You need to study Revelation chapter 14 and 20, and you would see the terrible, terrible torment and judgment that awaits those who rebel against God and reject his Son. Indeed, we agree, God is a God of love. He is a God of infinite love that goes far beyond anything we can comprehend. And he has loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son to die for your sins and mine. But if you reject that provision, the justice and judgment of God shall fall upon you in your sinful state, and you shall spend an eternity separated from him. So as we return back here now to verse 10, we see that it's God's ultimate purpose to sum all things up in Christ. Now what will this include? Well, let's turn to Romans chapter 8. The great, great book of Romans. I call it the Bible within the Bible, Romans and chapter 8. And within the text of chapter 8, the Apostle Paul says two times, We know something as believers that God has imparted to us. In Romans 8 and in verse 22 we read, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies." Here, the Apostle Paul states that we know that the whole creation, whether things in heaven or things on the earth, we see groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Here, God is referring to his physical universe, or creation, if you please. And as we look at this, Paul says, we know, or we understand, that it is groaning and travailing in pain. Now, we know that from the Word of God, but we know that by looking at it, and also by experience, don't we? Why, you look even at the winds that blow. Do you realize that most sounds in creation are in the minor key? There is a groaning and a moaning. There is a sigh to the wind that blows. There is a roaring that would be associated with the oceans that would rush to the shore. We see the birds and the doves, how they would mourn, and the owl who hoots. And we see that all of these sounds would be in the minor key. There is a travailing of pain that is associated with the creation. And going on here in verse 23, and not only they, but ourselves also. We see that we are a part of God's creation, and we are living in a sin-cursed world at this very hour. We see that this earth has been cursed because of sin, and as a result of that, the creation groans and travaileth. But there is a day of deliverance that is coming. Verse 21. Because the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. So we see that when in the future time, when God sums all things up in Christ, he will lift the curse off of the earth, and there will be a glorious redemption of this earth. There will be a liberty that shall come upon this old earth and universe that God has created. Now, we'll see a foretaste of that in the kingdom period of 1,000 years upon Israel, where God will lift the curse partially, but we see the curse shall still remain because there still shall be death in that kingdom, you see. And so here then, God's ultimate purpose will be to put away the last enemy, which is death. He'll lift the curse off of the earth, and it shall blossom forth, and it shall be a state of beauty and harmony. And this is what God so desires to do. And so, as we look at the first point of our message then this morning, we're seeing all things summed up in Christ. And this refers to the creation in the future. But you know, it also refers to the believer as well. Let's look down to verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Every child of God, if you're here this morning, should memorize this verse. It should be a very part of your Christian experience. We need to study it. We need to read it. We need to claim it in our Christian lives, because we who are the saved have the great promise of God that we are in his keeping and in his care. The Christian should be able to weather any storm that should come your way, realizing the great doctrinal teaching of this verse. We see that Paul says again, and we know, he says, that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. We see that God has a plan and a purpose for our lives, and he is working all things out according to the counsel of his own will. Now, I might illustrate this by a little story this morning that might help you understand this verse just a little bit better, that you can claim it for your Christian life, that it will give you more stability in your Christian experience. We have the story concerning an official in a corporation, very high up, and he is called by the corporate executives to the main office. And they say to him when he comes before them that they are going to open a new plant in the outer reaches of the northern parts of Alaska, and that he will have to go by plane, he'll have to go by boat, he'll have to go by train, by car, and he's even going to have to go by dog sled to get there. And so the man was ready to assume that position, and he says, "When should I leave?" And the corporate executive said, "Tomorrow morning, first thing." And it startled him. And he says, "Oh, but I'm not ready, gentlemen." He says, "Why, I wouldn't even know how to begin to prepare that for a trip such as that in that short of time." And they say, "Everything has been planned for you. Every stop has been planned for you. We see that there are all things provided that you will need to the end of your journey." And you know, beloved ones, for we who are the saved, in a spiritual sense, this is what God has done for us. He has a plan and a purpose for your life. And we need to be ever so submissive to the will of God concerning His plan and purpose for our lives. Because many times we can hinder that. We can't stop it. He will ultimately fulfill that plan and purpose for His honor and glory in eternity. But we can hinder that plan and purpose of His will in our lives if we have sin in our lives, or if we rebel against Him and we won't have a yieldedness to His will. And so we see that we are in His keeping. We are in His care. And so as we see ourselves summed up in the Lord Jesus Christ, we will see that that will be for His ultimate honor and glory as He fulfills His plan and purpose in our individual lives and also in the church, the body of Jesus Christ. Now, as we see all things working together for good, we know experientially that not all things in our lives are good experiences, are they? We have many bitter experiences, many hard times. But you know, I oftentimes use the illustration of the ladies baking a cake. And I just boast of you ladies many times to the other pastors. I said, "We have the best group of ladies and the best cooks and bakers anywhere in the nation. If you want to have a good meal, come to our church," I say, when we're inviting them into town. And but concerning the baking and the cooking, you ladies all well know that when you're putting the ingredients together for a chocolate cake, you have the chocolate laid out and the flour laid out and all the other ingredients. And if you were to taste of just one of those ingredients, many of them would have a very bitter taste to it, wouldn't it? But you know, you put them all together and you mix them all up and you put it in the oven and you bake it and you bring it out and the end product is delicious, isn't it? It's excellent. It's good. And this is the sense that we see our lives set forth in verse 28. God is before us working out the counsel of His will through our lives. And we see sometimes there are bitter ingredients in that because of our willfulness, because of our sin and rebellion for Him. And we see that through His permissive will, sometimes He allows adversity to come into our lives to draw us back to Him, that He might complete that plan and purpose. Also, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities and powers in heavenly places. Many times there is a spiritual warfare and a battle that is going on that comes into our lives, which would be a bitter ingredient. But all in all, we can rest assured as Christians, no matter what comes our way, God is working in and through our lives, and He will watch over us. He will protect us. But even if He takes us through death, it will be far better, won't it, to be with Christ. And so all things are working according to His purpose, as it says in verse 28, that when all things are summed up in Christ in the future, we see that it will be for the praise of His glory. Isn't that wonderful? That's beautiful from the text as it sets forth. Now let's go to the second portion of our message this morning in 2 Peter chapter 3. Our first point was all things summed up in Christ. Now, as we come to the second portion of our message, we'd like you to see that concerning the prophetic saints. What is the ultimate purpose of the will of God for the prophetic saints? Israel. 2 Peter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye be to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for the hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Here, as the Apostle Peter is addressing his hearers, which would be the prophetic program, the prophetic saints, the nation of Israel, he refers to the day of God. And there's something you need to see here. There's a difference between the day of the Lord and the day of God in this text. The day of the Lord refers to the tribulation period, the second coming of Christ, the millennial kingdom, and also the white throne judgment. We call that the dispensation of divine government, when God will judge the earth and when He'll rule on the earth. But as we look in the text here that Peter gives, notice he transfers the thought from the day of the Lord unto the day of God. The day of God is this futuristic time period that Paul calls the dispensation of the fullness of times. Same time period. The dispensation of the fullness of times and the day of God are synonymous terms or ideas. And notice how Peter turns his attention to his hearers and he says, we have a promise. And what is that promise? Nevertheless, according to the promise, we look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. God's ultimate promise for Israel is to take this earth as we now know it. He will purge it with fire, as it says here in the text, and He will completely renovate it. Now, the foundation of the earth itself shall stand forever, the psalmist states. But we see that in the end time here, before the dispensation of the fullness of times, God will purge it with fire. He'll purify it. He will lift the curse completely off of it. And when Israel comes back to that new earth, she'll rule and reign there from the new Jerusalem that shall come out of heaven. And notice, in that new earth dwelleth righteousness. No sinners. No Satan. No fallen angels. Only the righteous that are in Christ Jesus shall share in that promise and in those blessings. So as we look at the great prophetic program, which is centered around the nation of Israel, we see that they have the hope and the promise that when God ultimately fulfills His will, that He will take creation and He will lift the curse, and they shall live on a new earth, which will be like heaven. But secondly, as we saw also from God having a plan and a purpose for our lives, He has a plan and a purpose for Israel, that they shall inherit the earth. They shall live on the earth for eternity and rule from the New Jerusalem. And you read Revelation 21, the 12 gates in the New Jerusalem have the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel written upon them. So that is God's ultimate purpose for the earth and his ultimate purpose for the nation of Israel. But what about we who are members of the body of Christ? Where do we fit in here? Well, let's go back to Ephesians. And we see what lies ahead for us. As the apostle says in verse 10, he says, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Notice Paul says, having made known to us. Now, what has God made known to us? Oh, he's made known to us that he's raised up the chief of sinners, the apostle Paul, and he's commissioned him to the Gentile nations with a whole new hope and a whole new destiny that before was never made known. Why, this is a part of the mystery of the will of God for our lives today. That, as we see in verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, that he might gather together in one all things in Christ, which are, notice, in heaven, and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. You know what God's ultimate purpose is for the body of Christ? Is that we shall reign with Christ in the heavenlies, in that new heaven. Oh, indeed, at the rapture we see a partial fulfillment of purpose when we shall be with him, but the ultimate mystery of his will is that we shall have a residence in that new heavens. And what's God going to do with his creation just before we're put there? He's going to have to cast out Satan and all of those fallen angels. He's going to have to purge those heavens with fire, as we see from the day of God that Peter refers to. And after he does that, then in the dispensation of the fullness of times, we shall reign in the heavenlies as the body of Christ. And Paul says we're predestined to that. And that term has troubled the saints too much. I think sometimes some have taken it overboard too much. Paul's referring here to the entire church, the body of Christ, that Paul has pre, or no, I should say God, let's get that right. God has pre, that means before, determined or destined concerning this ultimate purpose to make sure we're in the new heavens. So we see before the foundation of the world, God had planned and purposed it, or he had predestined us as the body of Christ, that as a whole we shall be in the new heavens. Now, many of you, dear brethren, are planning vacations right now. You don't usually go on a vacation on the spur of the moment. It's usually, what? Predestined. Predetermined. Sometimes a year in advance. You plan and you organize everything, and as a result of that, it is all planned and purposed, and then ultimately, in the end, you go on the vacation and it's fulfilled. And in a sense, this is what God has done as he was laying the ages and the foundations thereof. When he was seeing the nation of Israel, he predestined or determined, I'll place them on the earth. And when he looked at the body of Christ, I shall have them predestined or predetermined to be in the heavenlies. And so we can see what great things God has done for us. And look down in Ephesians 2 and verse 7. Well, let's look at verse 6 first. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together, notice, in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceedingly riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Why, we have the ultimate mystery of His will revealed to us, to you and to me this morning, that God's ultimate purpose is to have us in the new heavens, reigning there with Christ, that in the ages to come, He's going to show His kindness, His riches of His grace to us. And you know, beloved, I can't wait. And I can't even comprehend all the kindnesses of our God. For we see His love and His kindness even in the sending of His only begotten Son to die for our sins. So back at verse 11, in closing, we see in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. We have an inheritance with the saints in light. Why, throughout prophecy, all we saw was God's purpose for the earth. But now, in the wonderful unfolding of the mystery, we see God's plan for the heavenlies and our reigning position with Christ there. And you know, just as any inheritance that you may receive, that when the will is open, why, all of a family is interested. Well, what was left to me? And oh, they're just so interested in all of the wording and all of the detail of it. You know how much more that should be so in our spiritual lives. You have an inheritance. God has opened it up for you in the Pauline epistles, and you ought to be so interested in studying to see what belongs to us as members of the body of Christ. The mystery of His will is God's ultimate purpose to bring us the glory that we shall be reflectors of His glory and His honor. And we shall all be to the praise of His glory. Let's close in prayer. Our kind and gracious, loving Heavenly Father, how thankful we are for the riches of Thy grace. And Lord, we pray for the great inheritance that You have given to us as members of the church, the body of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we're thankful for Your plans and Your purposes concerning the body of Christ as a whole. And we pray, Father, that we might look into Thy Word to search out the inheritance that we have in Christ Jesus, that we might realize that it's a heavenly inheritance, that we will be blessed with all spiritual blessings, that it will be inheritance where we shall reign with Christ in the heavenlies, and many, many more things. And we pray, Father, that You would bring these things before us, that we might look into Thy wonderful Word to receive these rich blessings. For it's in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ we do pray. Amen.